بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، وصلى الله على النبي الأمي برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. الحمد لله with the fadl and the karam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are in this discussion of the glorious Sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Those that sacrificed their lives for humanity's guidance and enlightenment. Amongst these great individuals is one who is one of the greatest. Nay, he is actually Allah's Nabi as well. He's mentioned in the Quran on so many occasions. His mother is mentioned with her chastity and nobility and integrity. We mention him because before the days of judgment, it'll be him who'll return to this dunya as a companion of Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and as part and parcel of the ummah of Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to actually end off the Antichrist. Allah has decreed subhanahu wa ta'ala the end of Dajjal at the hands of none other than Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu wa sallam. His incident is mentioned throughout the Quran Kareem, replete in Kalamullah azza wa jal. I would encourage one and all throughout our lives, learn these chapters, especially in times like this, where sadly the Christians misunderstand the life of Isa alayhi salam. Right from the onset, even his blessed birth, they actually place incorrect dates to his blessed birth. There's no such thing that on the 25th of December, Isa alayhi salatu wasalam was born. There's no mention of this in the Bible itself. Actually, the Bible describes the birth of Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu wasalam in a time where it was warm, where the lambs and the flocks were playing about in the green vineyards of Palestine, and there was the little baby, this blessed child, Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. But let's rehearse these verses in the Quran Kareem, starting with Surah Al Imran. Al Imran, Al means the family. Imran is referring to the family of Imran alayhi salam, who was Allah's Nabi. And Imran was none other than the father of Hazrat Maryam alayhi salam and radiyallahu anha. Both is permissible. Some ulama say we can say alayhi salam because she's mentioned in Kalamullah. Others say that we should say radiyallahu anha because she is not a Nabi of Allah. Allah did not send Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam from the female. But yes, she is one of the noblest of all women. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the best of all women are namely Hazrat Maryam radiyallahu anha and alayhi salam. The other being Asiya bint Muzahim. She was the wife of the Pharaoh. And the third being Khadija bint Khuwaylid, Hazrat Khadija radiyallahu anha. And the fourth being Hazrat Fatima radiyallahu anha. Now in this hadith, we learn something very interesting, that all of these special women had interaction with the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam. Like Maryam grew up Hazrat Isa alayhi salam, and Asiya nurtured and took care of Musa alayhi salam. And Hazrat Khadija radiallahu anha was the wife of Janabi Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam, as well as Hazrat Fatima radiallahu anha being the daughter of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam. So this association with Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam made them very, very special. And also this quality of motherhood and nurturing such great people also made them very, very special. Amongst the greatest as well is our mother Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha, as mentioned in other ahadith as well. But from this list, Hazrat Maryam alayhi salam's speciality is that she's mentioned in Kalamullah no less than 32 times. And from here we should actually take our time to express these sentiments and these narratives in Kalamullah with all our associates and friends, employers and employees. Take out time to explain to one person, even over a cup of tea. Explain to them that even in the Bible, Hazrat Maryam is only mentioned 18 times, 1-8. Whereas in Kalamullah Azza wa Jal, in Quran, in the Quran Kareem, she's mentioned almost double the amount of times. Almost 100% more times. She's mentioned 32 times in Quran Kareem. This chapter Al Imran was actually revealed when a delegation of 60 individuals came from a country and an area, a vicinity of Christians, and they came to Najran to dialogue with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to speak to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And they actually arrived. Ibn Hisham rahimahullah in his seerah mentions this, and Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah says the report is satisfactory, that they arrived, it was the time of Asr, and Salatul Asr was taking place. They entered the masjid and they waited there. Some reports say that they actually prayed, and Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam didn't want Sahaba radiallahu anhum to disturb them. But actually we learn, on many occasions, non-Muslims came to Medina Munawwara to inquire about Islam, to interact with Muslims. This took place in the early Medinan stage. That's why Surah Ali Imran discusses the details of Uhud, as well as these verses concerning the life of Hazrat Isa alayhi salam from inception, from the beginning, meaning verses 33. So easy to remember, chapter 3, verses 33. After A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim, I recite to you. Allah says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ اصْطَفَى آدَمَ وَنُوحًا وَآلَ إِبْرَاهِيمَ وَآلَ عِمْرَانَ عَلَى الْعَالَمِينَ. إِنَّ اللَّهَ اصْطَفَى آدَمَ وَنُوحًا وَآلَ إِبْرَاهِيمَ وَآلَ عِمْرَانَ عَلَى الْعَالَمِينَ ذُرِّيَّةً بَعْضُهَا مِنْ بَعْضٍ وَاللَّهُ سَمِيعٌ عَلِيمٌ إِذْ قَالَتِ امْرَأَةُ عِمْرَانَ رَبِّ إِنِّي نَذَرْتُ لَكَ مَا فِي بَطْنِي محررا فتقبل مني إنك أنت السميع العليم. So from verses 33 onward, right till many verses in this chapter, after which is the discussion or the details, where, or express it this way, Quran Kareem's commentary on the expedition of Uhud. So this is why the preferred view concerning this event of the delegation of Najran was approximately the time when the expedition of Uhud took place. In Uhud as well, or in Badr as well, the captives of Badr were kept next to Masjid al-Nabawi sallallahu alaihi wasallam for them to see the beauty of Islam and the beauty of Deen. But later on, during the Medinan stage, namely the 9th and the 10th year after Hijrah, that was the years known as Amul Wufud, the years of delegations. Some scholars say that this group of Christians came at that time. But there were many delegations besides this delegation that came during that year. They were welcomed in Medina Munawwara. They were welcomed into Masjid al-Nabawi. They were afforded the opportunity to see the beauty of Islam, experience the beauty of Salah, learn Deen. The ikram was made. Some came already being Muslim because Sahaba invited them to Islam as Sahaba traveled for Allah's deen. Others came to find out more. And during their stay in Medina Munawwara, in Masjid al-Nabawi, in the beautiful environment of Medina Munawwara, they then embraced Islam. Others returned without embracing, but their ikram was made. Daily Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam actually would come out and welcome them and treat them well. He actually had a special jubba that was so beautiful, that was actually to welcome these delegations. There's one interesting report where a Sahabiya by the name of Furi'ah, I learned her name recently, Furi'ah radiallahu anha, she was ajuz and amya. She was blind and she was very elderly. She came with her son and they stayed in Medina Munawwara for a while. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent her son to stay with Sahaba in Ashab al-Suffa. And the mother stayed with the Sahabiyat, who in turn would teach them. Sahabiyat would teach the newcomers from the female, from the women folk, and the Sahaba radiallahu anhum would teach the male. The next day, especially after Fajr, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would ask the guests in Medina Munawwara, كَيْفَ وَجَدْتُمْ أَصْحَابِي? How did you find my Sahaba? Did they treat you well? Did they teach you? And the reports of these visitors in Medina Munawwara brought so much of joy to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this was a daily effort where daily, every Sahabi approximately would take home 2 individuals, to 3 individuals, to 10 individuals. There was a Sahabi, Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, who would take many home. There's so many reports. One specific that I remember now in Bukhari Sharif, where Hazrat Abu Bakr was invited to the home of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but he had his own guests as well. So leaving the responsibility with his son, he sent the guests home to partake of meals under the son's supervision and the care of his son.
And as the meals were presented to the guests, they refused to partake until the arrival of Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. When Hazrat Abu Bakr finally arrived, he was really hurt by this, that the guests were put through difficulty, that they actually were not fed. And he reprimanded his son. And when his son explained the situation to him, Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, very emotional, he took an oath that I will not partake of this meal. And afterwards, when the matter was presented to Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Hazrat Abu Bakr was told to partake of the meal and atone for the oath that he made. And through the love of Hazrat Abu Bakr for his guests and his love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, first of all, Allah blessed that meal, that that entire delegation partook of that meal, and it didn't get less. On one occasion, there was one Sahabi radiallahu anhu, but before he embraced Islam, very huge in size and built. His name was Jahjah, and no one was actually ready to take him home. Allah's Nabi said to him, not to worry, you will come with me. And Allah's Nabi took him the first day where he devoured everything. Like one day there was one individual, he came to a town, you know, and in the past it was such a time, the golden era of Muslims and human beings, where any newcomer to a community was invited home by so many. Today, sadly, we see newcomers into the masjid. In the wrong situation, we practice this verse where Allah says, look down. وَقُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ يَغُضُّوا مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِمْ وَيَحْفَظُوا فُرُوجَهُمْ. Allah says, O Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, say to the believers, look down as women folk pass, out of respect for them and guarding one's chastity. وَيَحْفَظُوا فُرُوجَهُمْ. And they should guard their chastity. Actually, we see newcomers in the masjid, we actually don't even want to greet them. We run away. That's in the incorrect situation, we're practicing this verse. Allah forgive us. There was this individual, so he was invited. As this person presented the curry, he goes into the kitchen to bring the roti. He returns with the roti, the curry is finished. Then he presents the roti, he returns to fill the bowl with curry, he comes back, the roti is finished. He goes now to fill the roti again, he returns with the roti, the curry is finished. And like this, this happened repeatedly. Until this individual asked him, where are you off to? He says, I'm going to this vicinity, I'm looking for some hakim. He says, why? He says, I suffer from lack of appetite. He says, you know what? When you're returning home, there's another better route for you to go via. Don't come via this route, it's too long for you. Anyway, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's akhlaq was spectacular, was immaculate, was sublime. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam fed him without any complaint. He devoured everything. The next day when he came home, what he ate was very minimal in comparison to the previous day. Hazrat Umm Ayman radiallahu anha questioned this to such an extent that even in the previous day, when milk was presented to him, the goat was milked 7 times repeatedly. On this occasion, after one milking, he sufficed and he was really satiated. And Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explained to Umm Ayman radiallahu anha that yesterday he ate with the belly of a non-believer. Today he eats with the belly of a believer. This is a sahih report that means, and this incident is the background of this hadith. Al-kafiru ya'kulu fi sab'ati am'a wal-mu'minu ya'kulu fi mi'an wahid. What it also means is, Allah give us tawfiq. Sometimes we travel, make sure our intention of traveling is correct. But wherever we go, make sure what we partake of is halal. An unbeliever just eats everything that is available to him. A believer makes sure it's halal, it's wholesome. An unbeliever doesn't take Allah's name. A believer takes Allah's name before he partakes. And he eats in accordance to sunnah. Like Sahaba radiallahu anhu, Sahabi Miqdad radiallahu anhu, partaking of meals in Roman territories by the non-Muslims. And he ate in accordance to sunnah. When someone chided him saying, that look how they're staring at you. He says, must I neglect my Nabi's sunnah for anybody? Subhanallah, we learn from Sahaba radiallahu anhum that we don't say when in Rome do as the Romans do. We learn from Sahaba radiallahu anhum that even if we end up in Rome, and Allah take us everywhere for Allah's deen, Allah give us tawfiq, even if we end up there, do as Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did. وَلَوْ كُنْتَ فِي الرُّومَانِ وَلَوْ كُنْتَ فِي الرُّومِ اِفْعَلْ كَمَا فَعْلَ مُحَمَّدْ sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So that's why sometimes our friends, colleagues, associates, employers, employees, create some interest in them concerning Allah's deen. How do we invite them? Anybody, wherever we may travel, we be traveling. First of all, greet the person politely. Then, if we see the softness in this person, then present a wonderful message, a polite message to this person by saying, do you know my friend? Do you know my brother? The creator who made both of us is one and the same. He created the entire universe. So that's step two. Step three would be to actually now explain to him examples of Allah's Qudra. So obviously, analyze the person we're speaking to, his level of intellect. Sometimes simple examples is most effective. Look at the cow. It partakes, it devours green grass. How is it that milk, pure white milk, lactates from its udder? Where is this happening from? How is this taking place? Even if we were to slaughter a cow, we would not find a droplet of milk therein. How is this happening? This is the treasures of the Almighty. Explain the simple example of the little honeybee extracting pollen and the ingredients from the flower that you and I, if we were to partake of, it would be bitter. Who thought that honeybee, the system of manufacturing and preparing the sweetest of honey that is shifa for all of mankind. Shifa and cure. So simple examples. And also we can explain, you know, nothing comes into non-existence on its own. If you and I were to come here tomorrow and we see, and I were to say to you that this building wasn't here and it just came here on its own overnight, this huge 10-story building manufactured itself by no man's doings, you would say to me that really, just get yourself checked up because there's something wrong with you. In the same way, how is it that this entire universe is functioning? The sun, the moon, the stars, the galaxies, the beautiful trees that inhale carbon dioxide most of the time and exhale oxygen, wherein we inhale oxygen and exhale carbon dioxide. How is this possible? How is this taking place? The birds, the animals, and everything around us, how did they come into non-existence? Come into existence from non-existence on their own? No, there's a maker, there's a creator. And like a bus has one driver. And what would happen? What would be the repercussion if there were two turning in different directions at one and the same time? And what about a school and so forth? So simple, simple examples. And then we invite people to come into the masjid to see the beauty of deen. And at times like this, explain the incident of Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu wassalam. This chapter states that the wife of Imran said, إِذْ قَالَتْ إِمْرَأَةُ عِمْرَانِ O my Lord, I have vowed and dedicated to you what is in my womb. One to be muharraran, truly free. Subhanallah, we learn that the world thinks freedom is what they analyze as freedom, slaving and slogging behind the system of the world. Here, the wife of Imran, Hanna, radiallahu anha, teaches us what is freedom for one to devote oneself and one's time and one's expertise for the pleasure of his maker, for the purpose for which we are created and sent to this world. This is freedom. Running behind and hankering behind the slogans of freedom as portrayed by the world is actually a deception. She says, فَتَقَبَّلْ مِنِّي Allah, accept this offering from me, because you hear all and know all. فَلَمَّا وَضَعَتْهَا قَالَتْ رَبِّ إِنِّي وَضَعْتُهَا أُنْثَى When she gave birth to her child, she says, O my Lord, I gave birth to her as a female. And Allah is well aware and knows best of what she gave birth to. And the verse says that the male is not like the female, and vice versa. Allah gives some responsibility over the others. And then she says, O Allah, I gave birth to a female, and I have named her Maryam, and I seek protection. In your name, I seek your protection for her and her offspring from Shaytan, the rejected one. فَتَقَبَّلَهَا رَبُّهَا بِقَبُولٍ حَسَنٍ وَأَنْبَتَهَا نَبَاتًا حَسَنًا وَكَفَّلَهَا زَكَرِيًّا And Allah accepted her through a wonderful acceptance. And Allah gave her a wonderful upbringing, a pure upbringing. And to the care of Zakariya alayhi salam was she designated. Something interesting in this verse, wherein she says, Allah, I seek your protection for her and her offspring. The hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that every child to be born, Shaitan pricks this child and pokes this child. And that is the actual cause of the emotion and the cry of the child on birth, on childbirth. Except Maryam alayhi salam and her son Isa alayhi salam. The dua of Hazrat Maryam, or Hazrat Maryam's mother, was this child should be protected and her offspring. And her child was Hazrat Isa alayhi salam, who didn't have children. So actually this dua of Hannah struck and was a preservation for Hazrat Maryam and Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. And according to the Quran, explained by the hadith, that this is a speciality of Hazrat Isa alayhi salam and Hazrat Maryam. And something else interesting. This speciality of Hazrat Isa and Hazrat Maryam is mentioned in the Quran, and it's mentioned nowhere in the entire Bible. And this is something we should share with all people out there, that look at the speciality of these great individuals. Something else very special about Hazrat Isa is also the fact that he spoke in childbirth. In his infancy, he spoke, and this is not mentioned at all in the entire Bible, the Old and the New Testament. So we learn that Quran came with truth, and Quran is the truth. But sadly, we're hoarding such information from humanity, wherein it is their right to know such facts. And this, through such explanations, we would then be able to convince them to see the beauty of Quran Kareem. The verses continue that every time Zakariya alayhi salam would bring meals for her. And this is also interesting, the details of how Zakariya alayhi salam was designated with the responsibility. It was all the priests wanted the responsibility to care for this child. She was a special child. But Allah blessed Zakariya alayhi salam with this opportunity due to the fact that his wife was a relative of Maryam. They are maternal family. So Allah made it that when they casted lots, Hazrat Zakariya alayhi salam's name came out. Anytime, whenever Hazrat Zakariya alayhi salam brought meals for Hazrat Maryam and he presented it to her, he found that she was provided with lots of meals already. And he would ask her, that where did you get this food from? And she responds, قَالَتْ هُوَ مِنْ عِنْدِ اللَّهِ. Certainly it is from Allah. Allah provides for whomsoever He wills, without reckoning, without counting. There and then Hazrat Zakariya alayhi salam makes dua to his Lord, that, oh my Lord, bless me, habli, from you, a pious, pure offspring, because you hear all dua. Subhanallah. And here's something interesting. Zakariya alayhi salam was of very advanced age at this time, as well as his wife. They were almost into their 100. But he saw the qudrat of Allah, and he had conviction in the help of Allah, that look how Allah, and this inspired him to make the dua, that Allah provides for Hazrat Maryam food out of season, fruit out of season, without any apparent means. Allah can provide for me a child without any apparent means, even though my wife is barren and I am old. As Zakariya alayhi salam was in his prayer, and the malaika of Allah come to him, whilst he was in his chamber performing salah and tahajjud, and the malaika of Allah say to him, أَنَّ اللَّهَ يُبَشِّرُكَ بِيَحْيَى. Allah gives you glad tidings of Yahya alayhi salam, confirming a word from Allah, and he will be a leader, and he will be hasur, totally chaste and pure, not having any inclination to any woman folk. And this is a speciality of Hazrat Yahya alayhi salam, that he did not have any inclination, and he will be a Nabi, a great Nabi from the righteous. Another trait that Isa alayhi salam as well did not have any inclination to any woman folk. Zakariya alayhi salam asked Allah, Allah, how can I have a son when I've reached advanced age and my wife is barren? So the angel of Allah says to him, Allah does as He wills. And then he said, oh Allah, give me a sign. So he's told, your sign will be that you would not be able to speak to people for 3 days consecutively. Something interesting. This is Surah Al-Imran. Here Allah mentions days. In Surah Maryam, Allah mentions nights. ثَلَاثَ لَيَالٍ سَوِيَّةٍ. Sawiyah also means that you will be healthy, but it's just as a sign that your words will not come out, will not be able to emanate from your tongue and from your mouth. But why here in this chapter Allah mentions days and there Allah mentions nights? Because that is a Meccan reveal chapter. And Meccan stage was first. So that because the night comes first, Allah mentions the night. This is the hikmah, one of the points in this verse. Allah mentions the night in a Meccan reveal chapter. And Surah Al-Imran is a Medinan reveal chapter. And the Medinan stage was next. So Allah mentions days here. Illa ramza, except through sign language. It's reported that sign language is actually deduced from here. And then Hazrat Zakariya alayhi salam is told, make dhikrullah in abundance. And make tasbih of Allah in the evenings and in the mornings. And the malaika of Allah came to Maryam alayhi salam. Ya Maryam,
O Maryam, O Mary, O Maryam alayhi salam, Allah has chosen thee and purified thee and selected thee over the women of the entire universe. O Maryam, devote yourself to your Lord and make sajda for Allah and ruku' for Allah with others who also make ruku'. And this, O Nabi of Allah, is the information from the unseen that we have revealed to you. You are not there, O Nabi of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when they casted their lots, that who would be anointed with the gift and the responsibility of caring for Maryam. And you were not there when they debated this matter, that all of them wanted this blessing and this honor of caring for such a noble child from such a noble offspring. And when the Malaika said to Maryam, Allah gives you glad tidings of a word from him, whose name will be Al-Masih, the Messiah Isa alayhi salam, the son of Maryam. He would be noble in this world and the next, wa min al-muqarrabin, and from those who are closest to Allah. And he will speak to the people in his cradle, fil mahd. This is the speciality of Hazrat Isa alayhi salam that we read in verse 46, as well as in Surah Maryam. Surah Maryam explains this miracle in more detail. What words Hazrat Isa alayhi salam uttered and so forth. As Muslims, every one of us should read these verses in Kalamullah Azza wa Jal, and we should show it to all our friends and associates. Every Christian should be shown this from Kalamullah. And who is going to show it to them? It is you and I. Because the final Nabi of Allah is Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and his ummah is the best because of this duty. And he will also speak to people wa kahlan, in his advanced age. How is this a miracle? What it means is, when he returns as a middle-aged man, he will then speak to people on his return as well. And he will be from those who are most pious and those who benefit humanity.